What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Skerritt and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Skerritt, and I'm with Amy Zander. Amy, how are you?
I am feeling like I'm feeling pretty creative today.
Are you very artistic-y? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, my back's not feeling very good. As you know, I threw my back out.
I know. We were miserable. Just talking about that before, and you were like, well, I'm looking almost normal. And I was like, I don't think you really ever look normal, Kevin.
No, I know. Normal is not a word I use very often.
Yeah, so we had to clarify. Yeah. You're walking normally.
I'm walking normally. it'll be a couple of weeks. Not as bad as the last time, so I'm just getting old.
I had to come and we had to have a meeting while you were like laying on your floor.
Yeah, right. I know. It's, you know, this is take care of your backs, people. If you work at a computer all day, don't go 25 years and just sit at a desk for 10, 12 hours a day. You will regret it. So there you go. They say that sitting sedentary is the new smoking.
It's
just as bad as smoking.
You're so active now. Like you and Frank.
Oh, I know.
So active now.
Well, I thought I was all the hiking and the yard work and stuff. I thought, my back is so strong. I'm never going to have a problem again. And I was tossing a half a shovel of sand. That was it. It was like 3 feet and I barely moved and it just, I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I've sneezed and tweaked my back and I'm like, what
was
that? It's
terrible.
That?
Yeah. Absolutely terrible. Yeah. Oh. It definitely takes away my creative juices.
Right. That's what
it
I'm does. So sorry, yes. But and, I know you're
And speaking of which, yeah.
I know you're doing all the things to take care of yourself, so.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But today, we are talking about the artist archetype. Woohoo! Okay, so to be clear, to pull this archetype off, if you're thinking that you might want to be an artist archetype, you are not required to be a Michelangelo, a Leonardo, or anything like that. It does not require us to roll around paint-covered naked bodies all over a big canvas or anything frou-frou like that.
Oh, so, but that's so fun. What are you talking
again?
About,
guys? I know. So just a quick reminder, for listeners who have heard us more than a handful of times, we talk a lot about a book called The Hero and the Outlaw by Marks and Pearson. And in that book, they referred to this archetype as the creator. And really the only reason we chose to use a different name is we kind of feel that the concept of creative artistry is more important than the concept of actual creation. So it's just a swapping out of words. We think it serves the idea a little bit more. Both are super important. Both of those ideas are within the archetype, of course. So Amy, being familiar with how we market our own agencies, you, Zedia Media, you're like the consummate outlaw, and my agency, Flock Marketing, has always been the jester. I could easily see either of us choosing the artist archetype for either of our agencies. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do think that the artist archetype absolutely is a kind of a no-brainer or easy fit with companies that are producing artistic creative. Or creative things.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, that kind of goes back to, the advice sometimes that we give our clients of not kind of picking the norm or like what your
competition
is doing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So as the process was unfolding many, many, many years ago, that was actually something that I had to tell my employees that we're not going to pick this archetype because it's kind of it's an obvious tactic for a design agency, you know, to be the creator archetype. But without thinking about it, all your competitors are going to also be doing that. Right.
Right.
So, but what if your agency is focused less on design and more on other creative endeavors like yours, like content creation.
Right.
You know, I think this, you know, maybe it's not quite as an obvious of an idea, but that kind of shift is really easily explained when you look at the sub-archetypes. So why don't you get us kind of clue us in on what the two sub-archetypes are?
Yeah, for sure. I just wanted to throw in right before I do that I have a very close friend of mine, Amy Phillips, who owns Good Vibes Art Studio in Okemos, Michigan. A little shout out to her. And I walked her through the brand archetype process. We've been really trying to market her studio. Not trying, we are marketing her studio. Mm-hmm. And when I explained all this, she naturally, as an artist, as an art studio, was like, ooh, the creator, the artist. And I'm like, yeah, but let me explain why you might want to pick something else. And so she ended up picking The Innocent because she also is like a very zen person. And when you walk into her studio, it's like, oh, it's
light filled.
And so she is one of those people that she doesn't give people a whole lot of direction. Like, she just really wants them to feel their artistry,
find their own path,
create this peaceful experience. And so she's really running with that. And the artist creator part just comes out naturally anyway because of her industry. But it's really working for her. And we actually were on a kickball team and we all made up stupid names. And she was the Zen master that was on the back of her shirt. And I'm like, she totally is a Zen master. Like, she really is. So that's really working for her. So I just want to throw that example out as a naturally creative industry that picks something else.
And this is not to say that if you are running any kind of a creative agency that you can't pick this. We would just caution you. Like, for example, being here in central Michigan, you're in the Lansing area, I'm over on the west side of the state. We probably have very limited, me more so, limited direct competitors. If someone is going to shop around for a web agency or a design agency or a content creation agency or a marketing agency, there's only a handful of people over here doing that. In the Lansing, it's, you know, significantly more, but it's not like you're in New York City.
Right.
So depending on how deep and how confrontational your competitors are, you could pick this and it would be a natural and easy thing to do. If you pick the artist and you are an agency, a creative agency, as long as you're just kicking butt and taking names and kicking your competitors to the curb and they can't figure out what you're doing and how you're doing it, then all is good.
Right.
But what happens if, you know, you're kind of doing the same old thing and they're doing the same old thing and you're going head to head. Now it's not so good.
Right. Well, one of the things I think that can happen is that if you do pick an archetype that is very, very much a natural fit for your industry, like what we're talking about, a creator artist for an agency, art studio, something like that, it can tend to make you a bit lazy in your branding because it just happens naturally. So if you do pick it, really lean into it, really embrace it.
Dial it up.
Yeah, exactly. Dial it in. I like that. And that's where you'll see the most success, and especially with all that consistency we're always talking about.
And one idea to kind of keep you on a focus is to understand that there are two sub-archetypes. So that's where we're kind of headed. So why don't you take us there?
Yeah, reining me back in. Good job. Thanks.
Well, it's a good segue.
For sure.
If I focus on, like the storyteller sub-archetype that you're about ready to describe to us,
that's slightly
different than the artist, and it might keep you more focused. Less lazy.
Yeah, less lazy. Right, exactly. Yeah. More creative, less lazy. Yeah, so the artist has two sub-archetypes within it. And remember in our last episode when we were talking about the neighbor and how most companies pick the sub-archetype with the same name, which we also call the neighbor. Well, we have the same situation here where the vast majority of companies who pick the artist archetype fall into the same bucket and pick the sub-archetype called, you guessed it, the artist.
Yeah, the artist.
And that can be kind of confusing for some people, but it's just the way that we differentiate that, you know, there's different sides to these or different, you know, focuses on these.
Yeah. I think we did that 3 or 4 times, and basically where the sub-archetype is the same as the main archetype.
Right.
And the reason we did that is because it's just so obvious what, you know, the artist sub-archetype is about artistry and creativity.
Right.
So why not keep it the name? Yeah. You know, it's like, and I think the just for the listeners who are wondering why we did it that way, go ahead and try to find another word that is just as good as the artist for right. describing that concept. And, right. and it's really hard. Yeah. So it's like, you know what? We're gonna live with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, go ahead.
Okay, no, that's okay. So this one, the artist, is all about visual and conceptual creativity. You know, think artistry. This could be creative design of a product, all the way to creative operational processes and everything in between. So if you, your products, your services, your team, your ideas, or your processes are creative, then you might think about selecting the artist sub-archetype. Mm-hmm. But like you said earlier, what if your entire brand revolves around the much narrower concept of storytelling? It's still creative for sure, but it's more about spinning words. Instead of tapping into the more generic concept of creativity, companies who choose the storyteller sub-archetype will weave words into rich, emotion-filled stories.
Yes.
So to go deeper, let's review the big ideas. So why don't you get us started?
Yeah, sure. Well, okay. So I think as we were, and we're getting down to this, I think we only have about two or three more of the 12 main archetypes because what we're doing here is we're talking about how to market each of the archetypes, right? So I think as we've been going through these, all of them have 4, 5, 6, 7 big ideas. And this one only has a couple. And the big one, the big, big, big one is really obvious, creativity. But this one is so important that if it was the only concept that you were ever to weave into your marketing, if you picked this archetype, it would work. It's an idea that can be worked into just about any business concept. It can lead to some really outstanding marketing campaigns. I mean, it's such a powerful idea, creativity, that it can lead you anywhere. And it's a really, really powerful idea, right? So understand that people who see themselves as creative types, they usually wear that quality kind of like a badge of honor. They claim it. They shout it out to the world. I'm creative, right? So people who see themselves that way, as creative, they're out there. They own it, right? But people who don't see themselves as creative, they tend more often to kind of deny their creativity. And this is an extreme schism between personality types, right? Mm-hmm. So as a creative type, I kind of see the whole situation is sad. It's really, really sad what happens to people when they move from childhood to adulthood.
Oh,
most people lose their creativity.
And they get, you know, back pain.
Well, I think that's what causes the lack.
Not in your case.
Okay, so if you've ever worked with little kids, you know, like I'm talking like early elementary school, you know, kindergarten and up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that kids, their brains are really, truly unconstrained. They think the strangest things, especially when they draw what's in their heads and in their minds and in their hearts. It's how they view the world. They're fearless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without really trying, they are kind of inherently super creative. And understand that I'm putting this label on all kids. I really, truly believe that we are born with this creative thing in our heads
before
right?
we're jaded or made to feel like we're not
I think that we're born with a lack of inhibition that allows us to be creative in just about everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
but like you just said, you know, the jade, being jaded somehow, I it's around junior high school or so, I think that the confidence level with most kids, that they fear that they're going to be judged or they were persuaded by adults to pay attention to more important things like science and math.
Yeah.
And, you know,
or they don't want to be too different from their peers, the whole fitting in thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And somehow they're taught to follow the rules, to limit their thinking, that it's time to grow up, it's time to be adult, and they lose their creativity. And it's just over a handful of years that this happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad thing. I really think that's sad. So I think parents push their creative kids into becoming, you know, like doctors and lawyers, and use phrases like, you know, starving artist, or I don't know, things like you need to get a real job, you know, in which of course that kind of further squelches what might be left of their creativity.
Right.
You know, I know your kids are really creative type, especially Anna.
Yeah.
So What are your thoughts about this whole idea of kids losing their creativity?
Well, I do agree with you in some sense. I mean, Anna's a bit unique because she's super, she's like the person you mentioned earlier, like, I'm creative, and kind of that's her whole identity. And she's an artist and a painter, and she's always got paint on herself. And, you know, I mean, that's her thing, and a musician. Whereas Henry is really, really good at theater, but he's in that 13, 14-year-old where he does not want to be different from his peers. Singing in front of people is embarrassing, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm hoping he gets back to it. But Chris and I are different parents because we're always like, you don't want a normal job. You don't want to do a 9-to-5. Like, yeah, roll with that creativity. Show the world what you've got. We're always like, there's different ways to live your life than having to just do something you don't enjoy.
So this is my opportunity to comment how different you two are.
Well, we are.
Doing that to me, you're like,
true.
Since I'm not normal, you guys aren't.
No, we're not normal. Not at all. But yeah, I mean, I see that in kids. Anna, you know, most of her friends tend to be creative. She's in this really cool college art class, and she gravitates, you know, just naturally towards people who are different. So that's good. I celebrate that for sure.
Yeah. So the big idea is creativity, but what do you got next?
Well, the next big idea is definitely inspiring.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's inspiring.
Okay. You said that. What's the concept?
It's inspiring. Or, you know, inspiration.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Okay. So, just to be clear, because Kevin didn't get it. Inspiration. So, this idea is a concept that is steeped in pure emotion. So, you know, we're always talking about how your brand, whatever it is, should have that strong emotional connection. Yeah. So you cannot inspire somebody in any way until you move the needle on their emotions.
That is so true.
Yeah, yeah. So this is where the visual creativity and storytelling really kick in. Most of the time, an artist archetype will use their creativity or storytelling to move the person to feel a very specific emotion. This could be pride, pity, glee, sorrow, humor, anger, joy. Really, the sky's the limit, just some kind of strong emotion. And like, kind of going back to my friend's art studio, we talked about that, and her biggest feeling that she wants people to feel is really going back to that childhood thing about just uninhibited creativity, you know, getting into her space and painting or drawing or doing whatever without any judgment, with all the freedom in the world. And she just sets the space and the tone and the atmosphere to make that happen. And what's so interesting, Chris really loves her space, and he goes into her space and creates. And it's so interesting to watch, because the first half hour he's there, he's like puttering around, picking out his paints. You can see the decompression of the day like happening, right?
And I think Chris probably needs a little.
Oh, he needs it totally.
Zen.
And he brought a friend with him one time, and I'm just kind of sitting back. Like, I've created a lot of art in her space, so I'm just kind of watching and hanging out, drinking some wine, watching them do their thing. And our friend James came, and he came right from work. He's drinking a beer, he's watching Chris, and then he starts like splashing some paint on a canvas, and he's like, I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, I'm just too wound up. And Amy's
But he
like,
was moved to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
and
then
awesome.
I know. And then Amy's like, give it time. And then I'm just watching both of them like decompress from their stressful job, and then the painting and the fun starts happening. And I was just like, wow, she really is the Zen master of making that happen. And so many adults need that. I mean, children just naturally do it, but.
So when you were describing earlier that she had switched to the innocent archetype, my brand brain said, okay, I can see that. And then when I was just talking about how children lose their creativity, it was this intellectual analysis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until you just said that she is tapping into the child thing. I'm like,
yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah.
Why not tap into the innocent and reinforce the idea that you used to be creative and you can have that again?
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
And she does, she focuses mostly on abstract, which I think is also cool and kind of part of that too. But yeah, I was just thinking we should have her on here. We should talk to her, have her tell us more about. Yeah, I'll talk to her. I'll get her on here.
Yeah, sure.
I was also thinking, if you think about that SPCA commercial with Sarah Loughlin, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
They show those doggies in cages with the super sad eyes, like they're crying, and Sarah's voice is slow and sorrowful and pleading, and the music and the pace and the words. And the story they tell about those cute little puppies' fate, it's pure emotional tugging at your heartstrings. This is a great example of inspiration, even though it's kind of a sad story. There's a reason that we've been seeing those commercials for over 14 years.
Has it been that long?
Really? Yeah, well, wow. I know. It's the most successful marketing campaign run by the SPCA ever. And in the first 2 years alone, they raised over $30 million.
Wow. So. That's moving the needle on emotion for sure. Yeah, I mean, right. we included one of those commercials just recently on the, if you go to brandarchetypes.com, find your way to the artist page and scroll down to the bottom, you'll see the videos, just a handful of them. And we did include one of those because, and you could pick any one of them. They're all roughly the same formula, but they're really, really good at doing what you just described, this whole, inspiration of, to contribute to an organization like the SPCA. No one has to do that. To get someone to do that, you really have to move them to care and to want to do that. You have to inspire them to know that they're going to be doing something good by their donation. So, yeah, I think those commercials are beautifully done.
Yeah. Even if they make me cry.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Just a little. Okay, so you mentioning inspiration is a big idea that, that kind of reminds me that we have an overlap that should be pointed out. When we think about innovation as an example, it's kind of part of the outlaw archetype. We think about Steve Jobs and Apple computers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But consider that most innovative thinkers, they are also super creative, right? Mm-hmm. You're not innovative unless you do something differently, which is usually a creative process.
Right.
And, business people usually call it thinking outside the box or some other techno lingo, right?
Pivoting.
Right. Because of how creative it is, right?
Right.
So I would definitely include innovation as a big idea, but because of this overlap, I'd kind of caution it to be a little careful that you're not swerving too far out of the artist lane and over into the outlaw lane, right?
Right.
You want to make sure you stay in the within the archetype. Stick with creativity and storytelling. If you were super innovative, either consider the outlaw or really being careful to emphasize your creativity.
Right.
Don't avoid that too much of that radical contrarian product innovation that is kind of within the outlaw and stick to the creative artistry.
Yeah, just be nicer.
Yeah, right. don't be bucking the trends and questioning authority and all that stuff, right? Right. So, Amy, as the word girl, why don't you let us know how you created marketing campaigns using some of these big ideas that we just reviewed?
Yeah. So I'll start with some words. So creative artist words could be original, talented, gifted, fresh, mm-hmm. bold, visionary, imaginative. Let's see. Germinate. That's a cool word.
Ooh,
I like that. Yeah. Germinate. Produce.
So let me point something out.
Yeah.
You can't ever really memorize all the words within an archetype. You kind of have to feel them, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you do this, every episode where you list off words,
mm-hmm.
I do that. I'm thinking. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm. But every once in a while, you'll throw one out that is at first blush, unexpected, completely unexpected, and then it hits you. So germinate, like, wow, that is a great word. No, I don't know where I would use the word germinate,
right.
But it's a great word because it does definitely imply that there's new life coming and there's this creative,
something,
natural process. And
right.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Let's see some phrases. You could do a new experience. a professionally new idea, be a pace setter, beyond your wildest dreams. Give your creativity free reign.
Free reign.
So that would be a good one for the studio that my friend has. Explore creative solutions, fresh and creative, fresh ideas, that kind of thing.
Right. So all of those words kind of implied to me, yes, there is a creative process, but the creativity usually, not always, but usually leads to some kind of change, right? So it's not like this sitting back like the neighbor archetype and, you know, having a beer. There's not kind of implied change in being laid back. In fact, it's the exact opposite. You're kind of going to stay the same. You're always the same. It's like the innocent. There's not an implied change where creativity, right? Or, you know, the outlaw innovation and, you know, being completely different than everybody else. There is kind of implied change there. So
change in producing something as well.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, since you did words, let me see if I can throw in some kind of visual ideas. I'll take the artistry side of things, right?
Yeah.
So again, if you pick this archetype, you and your team are probably already pretty super creative, right? So when artists and designers and creative people, they pick visuals, they tend to pick images that are not run-of-the-mill boring. So if you're picking this archetype, I would expect that you're going to have a very easy time picking up images and videos, right?
Yeah.
But that's not enough. Remember, with all of these archetype ideas, you have to push the boundaries of where you go. It's not, again, don't get lazy like we were talking about earlier. You have to live on the edge. You have to get yourself away from the pack of the others. And in your case, the pack, they're all creative, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to differentiate yourself. It takes more creative thinking than you even normally put in or normally allow yourself, right? So really push that boundary. So my goal when creating campaigns for artist archetype companies is to get a very specific reaction from the viewer, right? So if someone looks at an image, if someone looks at let's say it's a web page design, you know, where you've spent 5 hours laying this thing out and creating content and selecting images and positioning things, right?
Yeah.
If someone looks at it, I want to get some kind of reaction like a, whoa.
Ooh, right?
Right? Even if it is subtle, like if they go, they kind of raise their eyebrows. And of course, I did it and I expect you to see it, right? Raise my eyebrows.
That's okay, I did too.
Yeah. So if you raise your eyebrows, you know, if I get a reaction like that, if I can get any kind of noticeable type of reaction, it's because I've pushed the idea far enough that it's no longer in the mainstream of what they're expecting, right? Mm-hmm. If you come to an agency webpage, you expect things to be visually creative and the design to be stellar, and right?
Right.
And if you don't see that, you're probably looking at the wrong agency to begin with. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to pick between 5 agencies where you like what you saw and they're professional and they design stellar, which one moved you, right? That's what we're talking about, getting a reaction. So let's say I'm creating a campaign, let's say for a Greek restaurant. So instead of showing pictures of their moussaka, which is, I think, is kind of a beef and eggplant lasagna kind of thing. Is that right? Moussaka?
I think so too, because I always order because I love eggplant.
So instead of that, I would, you know, that's, you know, looking at a big plate of moussaka might be nice, but instead I'd do a video of their, that, you know, the Saganaki oppa.
Exactly.
Right, big flash and, you know, 3 foot tall flash of flames across the restaurant. You know, you're watching because you want to see the waiter get his hair on fire because, you know, that's a video moment, right? Okay, that's my gesture coming up. But if you've ever been to a Greek restaurant, you know, do order the Saganaki if you've never even heard of that. It's really, really kind of cool. If you do a video of that, you know, that's way more of a wow factor than just showing
presentation
a plate of
food,
right?
Is everything.
It is, right? So, yeah, don't lose your eyebrows in the process. That's a bad thing. So, okay. Yeah. So, Amy, what other things should we avoid besides losing our eyebrows?
Good question. So if you go to brandarchetypes.com and find your way to the artist page, you'll find our SWOT analysis section that gives a breakdown of the weaknesses and threats to this archetype. Uh-huh. So if you've ever heard of an artistic person being referred to as flighty or artsy-fartsy, you'll get this. So sometimes super creative people are seen as being overly dramatic and not...
No, not true. Sorry.
Not us. or like not well grounded in the real world. Avoid this. Okay. Yeah. Enough said. Yeah. So, and also, I mean, you can't really be that all the time if you're going to have a successful business anyway.
Yeah. You have to be grounded.
Yeah. So there's that. And then, because people, I mean, you want them to see you as creative and artistic, but they also have to take you seriously. So
there's that getting out there and being frou-frou and esoteric and was it Amy, your friend with the studio?
Yeah. Her name is also Amy. Yeah.
Amy, right. Yeah. So I can see pushing that innocent thing because there's already the creativity mixed in there.
Yeah.
I could see how some real hardcore businessy high D using the DISC assessment type personality or super introverted kind of person, they might be kind of put off by taking that approach. But so what? It's right. So powerful, right? Yeah, that whole flightiness thing is always something you have to be careful with. If you're a creative type, non-creative types will see you that way, kind of naturally.
Yeah. She's really good about that. She's definitely zen and a very peaceful, calm person, but she doesn't come across as flighty, which is great. But one of the things I did tell her when we were in earlier on when I was taking one of her first art classes, she doesn't want to like dampen your creativity. And so she's like, well, however you want. You could do it this way or you could do it that way. And I was like, but I need you to tell me how to do it because I'm new. Like, I need a little bit more instruction and concreteness. Like, I understand you're trying to be cool. And then she's like, oh, okay. And then she gave me some more direction.
Right. Yeah. But, well, some people need, the step.
Right.
Instead of feeling comfortable. And I think that's part of what happens with the kids is they don't feel comfortable. And they're afraid of, being judged. Right. Yeah, so, before we kind of wrap up here, I want to kind of point out, because we said earlier that these recent episodes where we're talking about each of the individual archetypes, it's for the sake of how to market them. And yet, we really haven't talked a lot about marketing. And so people might look at the title of the podcast, they go, oh, I'm going to find out how to market. Well, we have told you, but we're not giving you marketing tactics. Like, we're not saying how to weave the artist archetype into, a Facebook ad campaign, or how to, create a Twitter hashtag following group for the, for the artist archetype. Yeah, those are tactics within the archetype, or within
or
marketing.
For any archetype.
For any archetype, right. But within that marketing, within the world of marketing. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is really focus on these ideas with all of your marketing, that if you focus on like the concept of creativity, really almost exclusively, if you're that sub archetype, it doesn't matter what your tactics are. If you're focusing on the idea of creativity, you're going to tweak and you're going to adjust and you're going to shift and you're going to try new things that are more creative. You're going to push the boundaries of creativity, and your tactics will naturally become more creative. So what we're pointing out here with this idea of how to market the archetype of the artist is focus on the big ideas. And then, if you have questions about specific tactics of marketing, you can reach out and we'll be glad to talk about that stuff as well.
Absolutely.
So just before we wrap up, again, I'd like to point out the videos. The best way to really immerse yourself in all of the archetypes, go to brandarchetypes.com, go to the page of the archetype that you're interested in and watch the video. So if you go to the artist page, we've got one from Crayola, there's one from Legos, I think there's one from a company called Ipsy, and of course we put the SPCA commercial there. If you look at any of those commercials, there's only four right now, but we could put hundreds, and it's this immersion that you get when you watch other people's commercials that we've picked because they exemplify this archetype so well. You can learn so much. If I were to just show you this commercial and say, what do you think? You go, yeah, that's good. That was a good commercial. I liked it. But we're not saying that. What we're saying is watch this commercial and look at everything they do, right? Look at everything. Like you were saying with when you were talking about Sarah McLachlan, you know, look at the pace, look at the content, listen to the music. You're really focusing on all the nuances of what these commercial creators are doing because they did such a good job. So anytime we talk about the archetypes, and if you're interested in them, go to brandarchetypes.com, watch those videos because you can learn so much, right?
Yeah.
So, go ahead. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, we both do this with our clients, but we often encourage people to look at other companies that are marketing the same archetype as you that are not in your industry.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because you can focus so much more on what they're doing and you're not getting so much wrapped up in the message because it's so similar to your own.
Right.
And so and especially with this particular archetype, because it is so creative that you can get some really great ideas without feeling like you're just stealing from a competitor.
Right. This one is just loaded with possibilities. Mm-hmm. Because the big idea is creativity. It allows you to go in any direction you want as long as it's creative. Right.
One more thing I was kind of thinking about as we were just doing this whole episode is If you adopt the creator or the artist, you kind of think, oh, well, anything goes because everybody should be creative. Everybody should be, you know, doing that kind of thing in their archetype. But that's not really the case because there's like the outlaw and the jester where it's kind of more like anything goes. You can get away with kind of doing anything because that's what the archetype is all about. But in the artist, like you can't necessarily bust out with a really funny, humorous thing or a really off the wall, bizarre thing because that's not your archetype, even though that could be really creative.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the trickiest things about this archetype is maintaining that creativity without, you know, with also staying true to your brand. So one of the biggest tips we can give you for that is to remember way back in the beginning of this episode when Kevin was talking about moving the needle on an emotion.
Yeah.
You're looking for that emotional connection reaction that's not necessarily like funny or bizarre, but creative.
Okay, right? So that's a really great point. And as you were saying it, two commercials popped into my head that would be a great comparison here. So if I take the Frank's Red Hot Sauce commercial where, you know, the Queen of England or the...
I put that beep on everything.
I put that around. Right. Okay, so that, when you look at it, is, okay, it's intended to be funny, and it is funny, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying to myself, wow, that was really creative. Right.
Right. It was funny.
Right. Right. But if I take a look at a Pepsi commercial, you know, where they have this big, you know, 50-foot pinball bouncing around the world and, bouncing, hitting it, knocking people over. It's funny, but it's way more creative than it is funny.
Right.
Right. So there's multiple emotions and multiple ideas within any concept, any marketing concept. So what you're really saying is focus on the creativity, but be careful that you don't, that your creativity doesn't push you off the rails and push you into another archetype.
Right. Right. And that's not to say that you can't ever be funny if only the jester could be funny. That's not true.
No, that's
not
what that's we're right. Saying. But you have to make sure the creativity kind of rises above it.
Right.
It's not at the expense of creativity. Your humor is not at the expense of creativity.
Right. Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. Okay, so why don't you give us a wrap up?
Yeah, if you've got any questions, give us a call. You can contact us. Just go to brandarchetypes.com. I feel like we said brandarchetypes.com more than any other episode in this one. I'm saying it. But that's okay, brandarchetypes.com. Go there. You can contact Kevin or I through there. if you want to adopt a kitten after watching that Sarah McLachlan commercial, you can call me because we have too many cats in my household and I can talk you off that ledge. So you can go ahead and do that. And you can follow us on the social media at Brand Archetypes.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, thanks, Amy.
Yep. We'll go be creative, Kevin.
I will do that all day long.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.